Welcome to CPA Spotlight, a look at the issues that impact CPAs, their clients, and their businesses from the Maryland Association of CPAs. Welcome back, everyone. Bill Sheridan here. Let's take a little pop quiz. Who are your most valuable clients? Or let's put it another way, from a consumer's perspective. Which companies do you prefer to do business with? Yeah, simple numbers are important. Who's spending the most money with you? Which company gives you the most bang for your buck? But if you think hard, there's another factor that's just as important, if not more important, than the bottom line. And in fact, it's something that can contribute to the bottom line. It's your relationship with your customers, your relationship with the companies that you do business with. Strong relationships between companies and clients breed loyalty that stands the test of time. Those relationships can often be the most important factors in the dynamic between companies and clients. And if you don't believe me, well, ask Steve Yastro. He's a corporate consultant and author of the 2007 book, We, The Ideal Customer Relationship. Yastro argues that companies who have we relationships with their clients, as opposed to us versus them relationships, who collaborate with their clients rather than merely transacting with them, they'll be the companies that'll be significantly more successful in the long run. He explained why to me in a recent phone interview, so let's listen in to Steve Yastro as he explains we relationships. Steve, tell me what you mean by a we relationship.
A we relationship is the kind of relationship you have with your customer, where the customer doesn't just think of you in terms of the products or the services you offer, but instead thinks beyond those products and services and focuses more on the connection he or she has with you. They don't think of you as that company, those guys, even that great company. They think beyond that and focus not on you as them, but on you and the customer together as we.
So why is this something the company should be striving for? I mean, what's so important about we relationships?
We relationships are especially important today. One thing I've seen in my consulting work over the last number of years is that when customers have a passionate, strong belief about a company, that results in that customer giving that company a disproportionate share of their business. And what I'm saying applies to the consumer or the business buyer. When people have a passionate belief about a company that translates to giving that company more business and more loyalty, usually these days it's not because they believe that company has a better product or a better service. Because what you find these days is that people buying for business or personal reasons in just about every industry have a belief that there are many product choices, many service choices. What I have seen empirically is that when people have very strong, passionate beliefs about companies and that results in a disproportionate share of their business going to those companies, it's usually not because of products or services, but because of the relationship they believe they have with their companies. Let's take the CPA business. One accountant may be better than the next accountant, may be able to look at his work next to the next guy and see where the other guy's better and where he's better. But oftentimes the client, even the sophisticated client, can't discern the fine differences in the work product between one CPA and another. What that client can discern, however, is which of these professionals is more likely to be able to really have a we relationship with him, or which one has created a we relationship with him. The result of this, the relationship, ends up being the best differentiator of your business.
Now, at one point in your book, you describe we relationships as consisting of encounters as opposed to just mere transactions between a company and its clients. What do you mean by encounters?
Encounters are the building blocks of we relationships. Let's step out of business for a second and think of one of your friends, somebody you've known for a few years and is now a good friend. I'm talking about somebody you've known for only a few years, so you can imagine, you can still remember how the relationship grew. You can probably remember the times you were with this friend, and during those interactions, your relationship actually took a step forward. Same thing happens in our business relationships. We relationships don't just spontaneously appear instantly. What happens is they're created one interaction at a time. Now, if you think about it, every time you interact with a customer or a client, there really are only three things that can happen to your relationship. The relationship can either get better, it can stay the same, or it can get worse. When you interact with a customer and your interaction improves your relationship, that's what I call an encounter. On the other hand, when you interact with a customer and your relationship doesn't get better or gets worse, that's what we call a transaction. And you know, we know what it's like to have a transaction. You go in a convenience store and you buy a bottle of water and you just trade your money for the water and you can't even remember what the store clerk looked like 5 minutes later. That's a transaction. How often do we slip into transaction mode with our important clients and miss the chance to have a relationship-building encounter. And in Chapter 2 of my book, We, the Ideal Customer Relationship, focuses on what it takes to create relationship-building encounters and avoid relationship-eroding transactions.
What would be maybe a first step toward building those encounters? How do you have an encounter as opposed to just a mere transaction with your client?
Interviewing people for this book, it was fascinating because what I found is that people, when I asked about their business relationships, they didn't just tell me about the relationship today. They started describing these building blocks of the relationship, which I ended up calling encounters. And I started to see some very clear patterns. There are three elements of a customer interaction that, if these three elements are present, you will have a relationship-building encounter. And if even one of them is missing, you're likely to slip into transaction. I'll review what those three elements are for you. The first element of a relationship-building encounter is that you and your customer have to both be fully present, 100% engaged in the moment. We all know what this is like these days and how tricky it is. You're trying to talk to somebody, and all of a sudden they're distracted looking at their BlackBerry. Believe it or not, we try to flatter ourselves and believe we are multitaskers, but we really aren't. We're time slicers. And when that person looks away from your eye contact, looks away from the conversation, and gazes down at the BlackBerry, for that moment, he has left his interaction with you to look at the BlackBerry. We know what it's like when we're on the phone with somebody and you can hear them typing on their computer, surfing the web, or looking at emails. We all can fall prey to this in this busy age with so many demands on us. However, if you are not fully present, engaged in the moment with your customer, and if you don't create this engaging moment that invites your customer to also be fully present, you cannot have an encounter. This is one of the great challenges today with the myth we have that we are able to multitask, and the myth we have that if we just dash off a quick email or just talk to one person while we're thinking about something else, we'll be able to do business. If that happens, we'll do transactions. So the first element of a relationship-building encounter is that you and your customer are 100% present, fully engaged in the moment together, undistracted by other things in the world. Difficult to do, but critical. Second element of a relationship-building encounter is that the interaction's really got to be a genuine dialogue, a true conversation. It's too easy to slip into monologue, especially when you've got a complicated sales pitch or a technical issue to describe to a client. We like to think of something at the Astro Company we work on with our clients and their team members. We call it the one paragraph rule. How do you explain something technical without trying to speak more than one paragraph at a time without letting the other person have a chance to talk? So imagine a CPA has to explain a complicated tax matter to a client. I'm sure all your listeners have had this happen where they're explaining something and the client's eyes just glaze over. One of the ways to get around that is to make sure it becomes a conversation, ask questions, and give the client an opportunity to speak. The third element of a relationship-building encounter is what we call uniqueness. Customers have a very well-attuned set of antenna that let them know when you're giving a spiel, when you're speaking from a script, when you're saying the same thing to this client that you said to other clients. A customer is much more likely to perceive that they are in a relationship-building encounter with you, and at the end of the interaction feel like the relationship has grown, if they feel you have created this interaction, especially for them. You're not speaking from a script. You're creating it fresh for them, and if it were for somebody else, they can sense it would be different. So if you've got these three elements, full engagement in the moment, genuine dialogue, conversation, and uniqueness, those three elements combine to form a relationship-building encounter.
Okay, so let's say you've had a great encounter with a client. What comes next? What do you do next?
Great question. Here's what happens. If you have a great encounter with a customer, it opens the door to the next encounter being even more fulfilling, and the relationship builds one encounter at a time. What happens as you have these multiple encounters, you create an ongoing conversation with your client. A great relationship is like an ongoing conversation. Think with one of your friends. If you don't talk to one of your friends for a month or two, you don't have to reacquaint yourself when you pick up the phone and call them again. No, you're able to pick up where you left off because you've got a shared history together. Think about how powerful that is when your customer, the client, perceives they're in an ongoing conversation with you. The trick to creating ongoing conversations is to take from each encounter great memories of what happened in that encounter so you can tie the new encounter to the last one. And if you can do that and create an ongoing conversation with your clients, That ongoing conversation forms the narrative of this powerful, sustainable, loyal we relationship.
Do you have any examples of companies that are doing this right, that are successfully forging those we relationships with their customers?
Sure. And it's interesting because it's easier for the small company to do it, but individuals in any size company can do it. A few examples from clients I've worked with over the last few years. When we started working with a company called Kimpton Hotels, they're based in San Francisco and operate 50 boutique hotels around the country, we noticed very early in interviews with their customers that their customers spoke about the relationships they felt they had with the hotels. And what was uncanny is when a customer was describing the relationship they had with Kimpton, the company, they would be telling us the individual names of employees at the hotels that they'd actually picked up their names and became on a first-name basis with different employees, sometimes even in the course of one stay. What we did with Kimpton was create a program called the Kimpton Moment, which was basically taking the encounter concept, which I've explained out of the second chapter of We, and we customized it for Kimpton so that each Kimpton employee came to learn that their job was not just to carry somebody's bags to their room, not just to check someone in, but actually during the process of doing those tasks to build the relationship with that hotel guest. Another example closer to home for your readers, although not a CPA firm, but in the financial services world, there is an asset management firm in Rockford, Illinois called Savant Capital, who we've worked with over the last year. And Savant being in Rockford, which is, you know, more than an hour from Chicago, was recently named by Chicago Magazine the number one financial advisor in the Chicago area, which is no mean feat when you're out in the burbs. And as we work with Savant, we noticed that their clients felt a strong affinity and a strong relationship with the firm. So we work with them to capture that and really help all the employees in the firm understand how to take what they were doing and take it to a new level and realize that when you interact with a client, you're not just there to talk about the market conditions today. You're not just there to talk about the yield on their portfolio in the last month. Yes, you do that, and yes, you talk about their life and their life changes and what's happening with their financial situation and other things in their life. But while doing that, your goal is to build the relationship with the client so that the client feels in an even stronger partnership with the firm than they did before. They're doing a very good job. A number of companies are able to do it, and I mean, I could go on, but those are just a couple of examples.
What advantages do companies like that have over those who are just merely transacting with their clients?
I think there are significant advantages, and I think in light of the recent bleak economic news, it's more important than ever. If your client feels that they are in a more transactional relationship with you, if you are just them as opposed to we, they're much more likely to bolt to a competitor when the competitor has a slightly better offer. Or when a slight problem arises between you and their company, they'll be much less likely to forgive you when the inevitable problems come up. A customer in a we relationship doesn't just have a frame of reference of today's prices, today's terms, the last time they talked to you. Their frame of reference is the entire history of your relationship. So what happens is they become much more loyal to you. Additionally, a customer in a we relationship is not as likely to go to the competition for another very important reason. They are not just comparing the products of one company and another or services. When they think of you, they don't just think of you. They think of you and them together. So whereas they may look at your competitors and think about their products and services, when they think of you, they're thinking of their connection to you. This creates a very strong bond and protects you from price competition from the competitors. Any sort of aggressive selling tactics by the competitors, your customer is much more likely to think in terms of their connection to you as opposed to just what better offers come across the transom this week. I think this is especially important in this time of economic uncertainty. One of the things that I've found, and I invite all the listeners from Maryland Association of CPAs to think about this question. Your clients aren't giving you all the business they could. When I ask that of professional services firms, whether it's law firms, accounting firms, financial management firms, insurance agencies, all sorts of professional service firms, consulting firms, the average answer I hear is that maybe 20% of our customers are giving us all the business they could, meaning 80% of our customers, of our clients, are not giving us all the business they could. Now think, how much could this economic uncertainty hurt your business? The average number I've been hearing, even in these tough times, is, you know, it might hit us 10, 15, 20%. That's bad. But if you think about it, even though the economic situation is real and tough, the untapped potential in our existing customer relationships is, for most firms, much greater than the impact the economy could have in the near term. So one of the best ways to deal with this tough economic situation, to deal with economic uncertainty, is to focus on building we relationships with your current customers. Because if you do that, you will untap that latent potential in those relationships. They will become not only give you more of their business, that untapped business, they will also be a great referral source for you, which is especially important in these tough times. Now more than ever is the time to focus on building we relationships with customers.
Well, those are some huge incentives. So how do you do it? I mean, where do companies begin in creating these types of relationships with their clients?
Well, the way to think about it is to realize that every single interaction is an opportunity to build a relationship with a customer. We relationships are built one encounter at a time. So the place to start is your next customer interaction. The next time a client calls you, 5 minutes after listening to this podcast, the meeting you're going to for lunch today or later on this afternoon, that's the time to start building the we relationships with customers. You have, everybody listening to this has we relationships with customers. The question is, how do we strengthen those existing we client relationships and take our more transactional relationships and turn them into we? The time to start is now, one relationship building encounter at a time. As I mentioned, this concept of the we relationship, of the encounter, excuse me, of relationship building encounters is chapter 2 in my book, We, the Ideal Customer Relationship. But I'm also offering a free ebook on yastro.com, my website. So if any of your listeners aren't ready to pick up the book but want to get acquainted with this concept of encounters, all they have to do is go to my website, yastro.com, yastrow.com, and they can sign up and get a copy of the ebook on encounters for free.
Well, Steve Yastro, congratulations on the book, a great book, by the way, and thanks so much for taking the time to be with me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bill.
That was Steve Yastro, author of We, the Ideal Customer Relationship. You can get more details about the book on Amazon.com or by visiting www.yastro.com. You can order the book there or download that free essay on the difference between encounters and transactions that Yastro mentioned earlier. Again, that's www.yastrow.com. Thanks for listening. For details about these and other issues that impact CPAs, contact the Maryland Association of CPAs at 1-800-782-2036 or visit us on the web at www.macpa.org.